We'll see, Vince. Don't forget the
All
Midwest.
Right. Hello, everybody. Happy Thursday evening, everybody. Welcome to the Vince Size NFL Podcast Show. I'm your host, Vince Size. I got two guests on my show today. I got Lucas Gaynor, and Andrew Jones. So first, Lucas Gaynor, how are you today, my man? Good evening to you, and hopefully you're having a good week so far. And same with you, Andrew. But go ahead, Lucas. How was your Thursday evening going?
My Thursday has been terrific. Vince, I hope you had a good week as well. You know, your Niners are in the championship game.
Yeah.
You know, Vince, I can't have a bad day right now because, tomorrow Man City is going to knock Arsenal out of the FA Cup and put that doubt in their minds about winning the Premier League. And number two, Vince, Matt Patricia is no longer my OC, so every day I wake up is a good day from here on out, Vince. I can't really complain, but Andrew, speaking of new OCs, okay, how are you doing today, man?
Well, gentlemen, first, I hope that I have the full allowance to be able to play the sounds. I know, Vince, you said I could play some sounds.
Yes, sir. On my show, you can.
Well, all I can say about that, might as well almost be that position about Nathaniel Ken Hackett being the OC of the New York Paper Planes is that's my reaction towards that, and almost as much a reaction of seeing Zion Williamson make the All-Star team as a starter. Pretty weird to see either way happen.
So wait, did I absolutely miss NBA All-Star starters getting announced?
Oh, they're doing it live of this recording, though. People will listen to this back when they get a chance to. But of this recording, they are doing the announcement of the All-Star starters, and Zion apparently has been voting on.
Listen, I think they robbed Sabonis, but Vince, this is the NFL.
Yes,
this is the NFL show, not the NBA show. At the end of the day.
And which, by the way, real quick, okay, but shout out to you, Andrew, for coming on my show, real quick, my man.
No doubt, sir.
Overall sports show is the number one show in the afternoon. There we go. How about that? Ding, ding. How about
that? Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But look, let's get it started. Go ahead, man.
Let's kick us off. You know, I think we'll start with the most relevant topic, which is your Niners, Vince.
Yeah.
Okay, we got the Niners facing up against the Eagles, two best teams in the NFC by far. Yeah. I would say they've probably been two of the three best teams in the NFL all season.
Yeah.
You know, Vince, we've said numerous times that I really thought the Niners were going to run the table from like week 10 on. They pretty much did. But Vince, first, I just want to say, man, you know, once the Twitter notifications stop going crazy here, I don't know where they're coming from somewhere. I don't know if that's Vince or Andrew.
It's not me. It's not me. It's probably Andrew. It's all good.
Okay. But Vince, I just want to see, you know, picking the Eagles. I know your dad's a diehard Eagles fan. Okay, Vince, how are you feeling going into this NFC Championship game with yet another?
I'm going to say this, though, Andrew and Luke, because I mean, I'm just going to keep it raw. I said on the 265 Media Football Show, and by the way, that's going to be uploaded by this weekend, by the way. But no, that's going to be
all right.
35. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But no, I said it. I'm going to keep it real. Am I nervous for this game? Yeah, it's in Philadelphia. These Philadelphia fans are going crazy, which they should be. They're the number one seed for a reason. Shout out to Jalen Hurts, by the way. At the Jalen Hurts haters, by the way. But anyways, at the end of the day, boys, listen, I'm nervous. And could I see us winning in Philadelphia? Yes, I can. But the keys for the game for me is going to be the defense. Can they get after Jalen Hurts? And look, we got to respect the O-line for the Eagles because they have a top five O-line when healthy, you know, with Lane Johnson and those boys. So, you know, listen, that crowd in Philly is crazy. And look, these fans are so confident because they beat your Patriots 5 years ago, and that's why they're so damn confident. But at the end of the day, they have a right to be confident, right? So the keys for our victory, we got to score early. Because if we don't, we're going to be in trouble. I was talking to my dad about it, but by the way, shout out to my dad, he's an Eagle fan. But no, seriously, my dad was like this, right? He said,
let's go Giants.
He said, if San Francisco is down two scores or, you know, down two scores, he doesn't think they will come back, which I would probably agree with that. That's why, boy, we got to score first. And my defense got to – they got to – D'Amico Ryan's got to be on his ass this weekend, man, because if not, I can see the Eagles winning by two touchdowns. And trust me, bro, it's hard to win in Philly. So – and by the way, the media is picking Philly. All of them is picking Philly, which I like being the underdog. So we'll see what happens. But as right now, I'm picking Philadelphia as of right now. But Lucas, go ahead.
I mean, no, listen, honestly, I got the Niners here. Okay, I'm picking the Niners to go back. The Brock Purdy story will continue. Here's the thing, okay, at the end of the day, Vince, I don't think you guys are going to get down early. This is going to be a dogfight because I'm in full agreement with your father. Okay, at the end of the day, if you guys go down, Philly can chew the clock too well. They can run the ball way too well for you guys to get back in the game. Then you're putting way too much pressure on Purdy. And I agree, Vince. I think you guys are going to come score early. you know, get out to a little bit of a lead. Nick Bosa is going to make a big play. But really, my key is the same key for the Giants, and the Giants miserably failed at this key. Okay, yeah. It was to get Hurts in third and long and not there let him convert on third down with his legs. And he was almost never in third and long, and when they were on third down, he scrambled for a couple first downs. Okay, now the Niners are a much better team than the Giants, okay?
Yep.
They have the best defense, arguably, in the league, in my opinion. A lot of playmakers on that side of the ball. Bar the best defensive player in the league, bar none. Okay, exactly. I'm not hearing anything. Vince, you know I'm not a huge fan of you know, Mr. Nick Huckabee. I mean, Nick Bosa. I'm not his biggest fan, as you know, maybe his off-the-field antics. But on the field, there's only one thing I can say about the guy, and it's that he's an utterly dominant pass rusher, man. That's you can't deny that. So I think he's going to have a big game here. But, Vince, a little bit worried, though. Eagles' performance, the offensive line was so dominant last week.
Yeah.
You know, I'm worried that they could control the line of scrimmage again. But alas, you guys are not the New York Football Giants. You guys have a better D-line and a better defense by like 100%.
Which, by the way, real quick, look at before you go, you can tell the people out there you went for the Giants because of your dad. You can tell people, you know.
No, listen, 100%. I made that pick with my heart and not my head. Okay. Can we get the sound, Andrew, if you got it handy?
And look, I told you about Boston Scott. This man's undefeated, man. Jesus Christ.
That's free money. That's the freest money you can ever make. Even though I picked the Giants, I still bet on Boston Scott to score a touchdown. And voila, there he goes. Voila, this guy scored 7 straight friggin' touchdowns against the Giants. But like I said, I picked it with my heart, not my head, okay? Yeah. And unfortunately, Vince, that is my only miss in the playoffs here as far as predicting games. I'm 9-for-10. Should have went with my head instead of my heart. And this week, tough because I'm split right down the middle with Philly and the Niners. But Andrew, I would love to hear your perspective on this NFC Championship game.
Go ahead, Mr. Andrew Jones.
Well, first, the fact that you picked the Niners for your father being a Niners fan gets the full level. Oh. It gets that all right there for that son-father bond there. I mean, first off, people should just appreciate the Philadelphia Eagles for not having us be subjected to a whole week of whether Daniel Jones is elite or not. Like, at least we don't have to deal with just that aspect of that. But, you know, this is a key where, you know, it's these top two teams in the NFC and really for most of the season, Eagles all the way there throughout the course of the season and the Niners, where a lot of people had them as a Super Bowl pick going into the season, Vince's Niners. This is a fitting and deserving championship game of no floppity or no dream run from a 6 or 7 seed in this thing. Now, if you were a Eagles fan, that is still a little concerned with how the Niners are able, middle of the field, throwing and also running outside with those linebackers because they're white T.J. Edwards. They're going to be counting on, you know, all day week that Kyle Shanahan is obsessing in the detail of targeting those two and maybe N'Kobe Dean off the bench for them in their linebacking core. That's the weakness of this Eagles defense. But that Niners pass rush on the other side last week didn't really get to that Prescott. That Prescott got to himself in that game. And if you have an offensive line that you are going against, and you did not have a big week as a defensive line, it is not this Eagles offensive line. But at the center of it, Jalen Hurts showed his MVP status last week. And that is just a thing for the Niners. This defense that is so quality across the board, except against dual threat quarterbacks in particular, really capable dual threat quarterbacks in the likes of Jalen Hurts. They've struggled against that in recent times, that is a concern against a guy like Jalen Hurts who showed last week. He is certainly more than capable of not having any effects from that shoulder injury, or at least visible effects. And that is a main concern for me if I am Vince Sides or a few other good friends of the Niners that we know of, because that is the thing the Eagles have that advantage with. And how also Brock Purdy last week. It was a little dicey against the best defense he's faced. Now he's facing the second one, too, with C.J. Gardner-Johnson back. That's a little more concerning if I'm on either side on this one.
No, it is tough. It is tough. And, you know, Andrew, a couple of things. So, A, I think that what the Niners got to do is they've got to make Jalen Hurts push the ball downfield. Now, at the end of the day, that's a dangerous game to play. Because of who the Eagles have on the outside. And the more I'm talking about, the more I'm thinking, like Carl Banks said, Okay, Andrew, like I said to you, at the end of the day, talent matters.
Yeah.
Okay, it does matter. No matter how good your scheme is, no matter how bought in the players are, talent matters at the end of the day.
Yep.
We've seen Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown just be able to make plays. You know, Jalen Hurts, I'm not going to lie, they didn't ask him to do anything spectacular against the Giants. And they haven't really asked him to do anything too spectacular all season. They're just putting him in a position to succeed. He's making the right read 9 out of 10 times, it feels like. You know, he's not turning the ball over. He's tucking it and running instead of throwing a potential interception.
Yep.
So I got to give the guy credit. He definitely is in that MVP conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you got to limit the underneath routes, you know, the short area passing, and make him push that ball down the field. As dangerous as a game as that could be, I just think that maybe is where your best chance to
win. Yeah.
Because like you said, they don't do well against running quarterbacks, so they got to
make
sure.
They don't. I'm being a realist as a Niner fan. We lost to Justin Fields this year, and so did you, Lucas, at home. But anyways.
You had to remind me. Okay. All right. Hey, listen. Your backup, Trey Lance, and my backup, Bailey Zappi, are both playing, so it's all good. Yeah. You want that smoke, Vince. But no, Andrew, I do have a question for you. You know, you brought up Daniel Jones. And now, I'll never say that he's elite, but Vince and I were having a discussion today. Do you think he's better than Jared Goff? Because I'm ready to say that,
100%. Mm. Brock Purdy better than Jared Goff?
No, Daniel Jones.
I have to say, despite me criticizing Jared Goff and saying cough a lot up with Jared Goff, I have to give Jared Goff the credit in terms of at least throwing the ball a bit. He at least intermediately can hit those guys that Daniel Jones last week missed on some throws here and there. Now, obviously, Daniel Jones is certainly the athlete that Jared Goff will never be. But Jared Goff, I have to give credit towards you. When he has an offensive line that's decent, he can be accurate and make the throws. Now, yes, you could have had Daniel Jones in that Lions offense. You could have any quarterback in that Lions offense, and they would look decent with that. But, you know, Jared Goff, he still has to be able to make some of those pocket throws, which he done. And I feel Daniel Jones, that's still question mark for me with him. But
I just figured I would ask because Vince and I were talking about it. And Vince, I just want to say, your backup quarterback was picked, 134 spots out of my backup. I just want you to know. This one, number 3 to 137. I just wanted you to know that he's a backup now. You know, I just wanted to get that out there. But, you know, that's a great segue to the Patriots, actually. You know, Bailey Zappi, as hot as his run was, as much of Boston was behind him, I even was watching a Celtics game on TV once, and on courtside, I'm not joking, I saw an anniversary edition courtside somebody wearing a Bailey Zappi jersey one game. Okay, I don't even think they made that jersey. I think that guy had to custom make that, so that's unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
Boston was behind him. But alas, we know
that. Even Zappy's family doesn't have that.
I don't even think NFL.com has that. But at the end of the day, we know who the quarterback is right now, and it's Mac Jones. And listen, I'm going to say something that I said to you yesterday, Vince. This is Mac Jones. I'm not going to say it's his last chance, per se. But this year, if he doesn't make strides of progress, you have to start thinking about the future at the quarterback position. Because that's exactly how that goes. But at the end of the day, listen, it's not that I want to get rid of the guy or that I don't believe in the guy. And I think he will take strides under Bill O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just sit around and wait all day through his 5 years of his contract to see if he's going to work out, especially when a guy like Bill is nearing, obviously, the end of his career to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, if we don't see strides with Mac Jones, Vince, that's my biggest thing. You got to start thinking about the future, but I'm not going to start off on a negative note, Vince. Mm-mm. I'm going to start off on a positive note. We got that pencil having terrible play calling. No sequence play calling having ass Matt Patricia out of that spot. Listen, and, you know, a lot of stories are coming out right now about how Mac Jones apparently was not getting along with him or Joe Judge. Shocker. I know, Andrew. And you know what's hilarious?
Especially Joe Judge, the guy that literally thinks he's judge and jury to everybody, and yet no one wondering who the hell you are, Joe Judge.
And that's why Bill Belichick would friggin' yell at this guy at practice this year, kind of light into him, because goddamn, Joe Judge, you got to listen to your quarterback just as well. So that's
awesome. Look, you told me Joe Judge should be a special team guy. That's what he is. Go ahead.
Great special teams coach, man. That's what he should do, because our special teams, especially our punter, was trash this year. So we need something else in that department. You know, we need Matt Patricia up in the booth doing nothing of significance, okay? Because I don't want him on the defense, and I damn sure don't want him on the O-line again. Okay, that's what Adrian Clem is going to do this year. So I'm feeling really positive about the Patriots. I would love to know how you guys feel, but I'm thinking wide receiver, tackle, corner. Those are my three big spots, outside corner specifically. I'm looking at Peter Skoronski, Broderick Jones from Ohio State, Mike McGlinchey, Vince's right tackle right now at the tackle spot. I'm looking at guys like Jerry Jeudy in a trade. DeAndre Hopkins is the big one. I'm a little sour on that, though. And then in the draft, I like my boy Zay Flowers, local guy. He's going to be at the Shrine Bowl this week, which the Patriots staff is coaching in Vegas. So they're going to get an up-close look. And guess what? The Patriots love drafting. Wait, is it the Senior Bowl or the Shrine Bowl?
Senior Bowl.
No, it's not the Senior Bowl this weekend. Senior Bowl is next weekend. It's a mix of both the Shrine Bowl and the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. It's just a lot of this, you know, bowl nonsense.
The Patriots have had a history of drafting guys they've seen up close there at the Senior Bowl, and they're going to be coaching, and I think they're going to get a real good look at Zay Flowers. And I think Zay Flowers, I'm not going to give out my comp yet until it's a little more draft season. Okay, I'm not throwing out my professional comp. It is quite lofty. Okay, but that's who he reminds me of, this superstar receiver in the NFL. That's my wide receiver guy. And then as far as cornerback, I like Joey Porter, long arms, longer than some offensive linemen. You know, I like Christian Gonzalez. And those are
Lucas, pretty much – Lucas, are you saying bye to Trent Brown?
Oh, listen, I already packed his bags for him, dude. It's all good, man. Don't worry about it. No, that guy should never don a Patriots jersey again. I mean, that's why I want to draft one and sign one. But, you know, maybe I'm being too positive. You know, I think change comes with the unknown, which, you know, excitement comes from the unknown. Maybe I'm too excited, but how do you guys feel about the Patriots' upcoming season, you know? Because it can't be worse. It can't be worse. Yeah.
That's true. I'll say this. Well, obviously getting Bill Bryan as a quarterback guy and offensive corner is a lot better what you have with Matt Patricia, right? So, I mean, that's a good sign from there. But look, like we said, we were talking on the phone, right? You know, like, listen, your defense, I mean, it was spectacular. I like your draft this past draft. But like you said, right, I mean, hey, I mean, to get rid of Trent Brown, get a left, like, you know, McGlinchey, you know, and get another corner, I mean, you guys will be right there. And I mean, I'm being dead ass serious. We talked like 2 hours ago, and I like you guys for next year, as long as you guys do well in the draft and free agency. That's just me. I'll make a bold statement right here. I think Max is going to go off next year. That's my bold take. Go ahead.
He's going to go off. Uh-oh, Vince has got him in the MVP discussion.
Yes.
I'm going to one-up Vince while the NFL season is still going before you go, Andrew. We're winning the division next year. There's so many moving parts still, so this is
– No, Lucas, no. Tell everybody, people are doubting Belichick because people are saying, well, Brady helped him. Go ahead, Lucas, go preach.
It gets on my freaking nerves. They say, oh, Rodgers would have won 6 titles. Bullshit, no, he would have. Second of all, they say, oh, Tomlin never had a losing season. He's pretty much as good as Belichick. Okay, they say Andy Reid is better. Bro, Andy Reid doesn't even know what defense is. Otherwise, he might actually have 6 Super Bowls.
Lucas, are you telling me he's Matt D'Antoni?
Okay, don't do him like that. All right. Slow down. Because Andy Reid is a great coach, but, you know, he is effectively the Mike D'Antoni. But listen, the Belichick disrespect is getting out of hand. You know, people saying the Patriot way is crap. Okay, don't ever let Matt Patricia or Joe Judge or any of these other.
And remember, look at this. Said the Patriots dynasty is over. Look at that.
Well, it kind of is over. I got to admit that. But at the end of the day, Vince, I said this to you today. If we ever win a Super Bowl, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, it means more than the other 6 combined to me. But Andrew, please tell me what you're thinking about this Patriots season and going into the future.
Lucas Gator, I got to tell you, man, right there, Bill Belichick has to give you 50% of his Subway salary because that is an appropriate Belichick PR. I mean, as someone that was more Belichick Brady in terms of discussion with it, I have to say that all the reports you hear with Joe Judge and how people like Matt Jones spies him, it's like, Bill, why did you go ahead and do this season? And Bill really wanted to really have the credit of looking like he was calling both the offensive and defensive plays with this. But bringing back Bill O'Brien and all of his yelling and all of his yelling at Texans fans and Patrick, you suck, right back to Texans fans. and temper tantrum and how timeless that was. I hope for at least Matt Jones's sake that even him being there, despite how questionable his play going, how a lot of Alabama fans are glad that he is gone, how he basically owes a lot right there to DeAndre Hopkins and then John Watson towards his whole salary in Houston. I'm still am skeptical towards him making that made a difference. What would be a big difference is Tyquan Thornton being able to have that growth all the way. Devontae Parker hopefully able to his season, the pick up from what he ended this past season and show that he still has something left. And as you mentioned, Lucas, getting at least another receiver, whether in the draft or whether via trade and Jerry Jeudy or someone else, would be beneficial towards being right there. I mean, remember, they were really just one half away from being in the playoffs despite everything. So it is a key reminder how they're not that far off. And thankfully for their sakes, they didn't have to rely on getting the thing you can't hack it.
Exactly.
As their OC.
Also, also, guys, maybe Bill O'Brien could use those tight ends correctly in my position.
Oh, because guess what? He knew how to use Gronk and Hernandez in 2011. I can tell you that right now. For absolute disclaimer, Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are no Gronk and Hernandez, but maybe they could do more than nothing like they did this year. Exactly. No, but at the end of the day, Andrew, I got something to say to those Alabama fans, okay? It's not Bill O'Brien's fault that you lost your three best receivers to the draft and then two more transferred out and left you with one receiver and some underclassmen who have never played. That's not his fault. It's not his fault. That's the worst O-line Alabama has had in like a decade, okay?
Is that a slap at Saban?
It's a slap at whoever's doing the recruiting, and I think that falls under Mr. Saban. But at the end of the day, listen, Bama was still terrific, you know, for college football standards. But they definitely dropped off for their standards. And I think any smart Alabama fan, I know Ben Fair will tell you this, this is the worst receiving core Bama's had in like 15 years. You know, and they still managed to almost make the play. And so that should be a testament to Bill O'Brien and Nick Saban, actually. But at the end of the day.
Or how good Bryce Young is.
And Bryce Young, absolutely. Yeah. Listen, all this chatter about Will Levis and CJ Stroud over Bryce Young, please stop it, everybody. Please stop it. But that's the conversation that me, Andrew,
yeah, don't choose have. A quarterback that, you know, eats mayo. Keep going. It's all good. All right, go ahead.
No, listen. It puts mayo in his coffee specifically. That's fucking disgusting.
I love coffee, but come on, man.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Also eats a banana peel.
What?
Yes, he also does that too. And more disgusting, Will Carson wins 2.0 Levis
there. There we
go. So, here's my thing, though. I have a weird take, right?
Go ahead.
Obviously, I don't condone the eating of a banana peel or putting mayo in your coffee. But part of me thinks that if you're a psycho enough to do that, you're going to be a killer. But at the end of the day, you got to rely on tape. And I don't know. Will Levis has a fun arm. This is, it's a lot of the same problems I have with Zach Wilson. Now, he's definitely better physical. You know, a physical prospect, like, you know, his physical profile is a lot better than Zach Wilson's. But for me, it's the same thing. The guy had not even 2 years of production. Okay. They fall in love with his arm. The pro day, they're going to say, oh my God, he's amazing. And then guess what? Andrew, I know you were on the same train with this about Zach Wilson. You did not like it. If I remember correctly, I believe you were not a Zach Wilson guy. Unfortunately, I can't say the same for my co-host Vince Size, but you know, he's came around. He's came around and admitted that he's wrong.
We're glad we got him around, man, because
keep it real for the content.
100%. Yeah. I mean, it is just something where, and this is what Will Levis at least having better competition in the COVID wonderful season as that Wilson had to have people believe and inflate him as the quote unquote white quarterback savior to float up the draft out of nowhere. In 2021, I mean, at least Will Levis had that the last season. Because I can, but need to remind people or people that don't know, he got beat out by Sean Clifford at Penn State.
That's crazy.
He went to compete with Sean Clifford, and why he left Penn State to go to Kentucky, and then proceeded this season to get his OC fired, like literally got fired for how bad they were against a Tennessee defense that was not very good for most of the season, how they had no chance against Georgia, and how they lost to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So it is something where, and Will Levis, he has decent grades towards it, but it is a lot of Carson Wentz to play off. So all of those Mel Kuypers in the world who love themselves some weird Levis types and trying to say Josh Allen, it's a completely that Will Levis, despite having some athleticism, is not going to be hurtling over guys down the field like Josh Allen in that way. But it's just a lazy comparison this season where it is really a Carson Wentz 2.0. And it's not a knock to be labeled Carson Wentz coming out of the draft. But
right.
You have the same characteristics in being 24 coming out the draft like Carson Wentz, and him having some mobility but having a propensity to take terrible sacks. So it is what it is, and you know it's going to be like that. And anyone putting him above Young or Stroud, they really know that that's the type they always like.
No, the white savior quarterback happens almost every year. I mean, listen, it was Trubisky. It was like how on earth are – what was the rationale for taking Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson?
None whatsoever.
Like, this is what I always tell people. I tell people I can understand the rationale of taking him over Mahomes, right? Because it's not like Mahomes was some guaranteed boom prospect for a lot of people, right?
No, he was raw.
But Deshaun, I mean, when you put on the tape, it was all there. I don't know what more you wanted the guy to do.
In his own conference. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yes, Vince.
Yeah, well, since we're talking about the draft real quick, so you know how – I'm not going to mention no names, and you know who the hell you are, by the way.
Come on,
give me that sound effect. There we go. But no, seriously. Well, we all know some people are not high on Ohio State quarterbacks. So Lucas – am I going to mention – Lucas knows
– Oh, goodness. Andrew. I sense some Wolverine tendencies here.
I was going to say, I'm going to go on the limb and say this is a Michigan fan.
See, exactly. So, I mean, so you guys hate that negative, like negative towards the whole outfit quarterbacks? We're just, you know, good. You guys,
listen,
you know.
No, this is what I think. Listen, okay.
Right.
Of course, a diehard Michigan alumni fan is not going to like Ohio State quarterback Vince. I don't think you should really put too much stock into a Michigan State or Michigan fan.
None whatsoever.
Ohio State quarterbacks, but it's not just the Michigan fans, okay?
Yep.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, man, a lot of these dumb, like, narratives get pushed around draft season.
Right.
You know, the Bama quarterback, that's something Mac faced. Because he's a white dude who played, they said he's A.J. McCarron. They said he's Greg McElroy. Okay, obviously he's better than those guys. You know, he's not going to blow you away like a Josh Allen would or anything, or even like a Bryce Young would at the end of the day.
Right.
But he was blatantly better than them. People ran with that. He's going to be bad because he's a Bama quarterback. Okay, just like people like to do that with the Ohio State quarterbacks because they haven't worked out. I'm a Justin Fields believer.
I mean, look at the LSU quarterbacks. How come Joe Burrow didn't get the same energy? But go ahead. I got you.
Oh, yeah. Vince, I can't. White put my finger on it actually, at the end of the day.
Well done.
But you know, this is a good segue, I think. You know, the most recent of the white savior quarterbacks, we all know it's Zach Mama's boy Wilson. Okay. Andrew, you know, I know, like we said, you weren't high on him. A lot of people debating, is it Mike LaFleur? Is it Zach Wilson? Is it this and that? Well, hopefully next year you don't have to deal with Zach Wilson, and we know you don't have to deal with Michael Furr, as he's been fired and replaced already by Broncos head coach from last season, Nathaniel Hackett. Andrew, this is a safe space. Get it off your chest, man.
I mean, if only the paper planes could provide any comedy material to joke about, you know, over the course of this day. I mean, you know, first, I mean, as someone, and people may think of me as a resident LaFleur defender for both Matt and Mike LaFleur over things, but Mike LaFleur, it wasn't his fault that his quarterback wanted to have some possible talks with his mother's friends off the field and maybe allegedly over that, and just clearly was overdrafted in his position. It's not his fault that Joe Douglas, despite doing so great everywhere else, probably was influenced by all that draft talk and Woody Johnson doing Woody Johnson things and not selecting Justin Fields for Zach Wilson. But it is something weird to then say to yourself that the guy who was so bad as a head coach in Denver that he needed a clock advisor on the sideline is going to be the instrumental key in us in a must-win season, a must-playoff season, and being the difference for the offense. And that, it was basically was like, hope you can bring Aaron Rodgers. First off, that guy didn't bring Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos. Aaron Rodgers still stayed with the Packers.
Yep.
And then even if you do bring him with that, it's not like Aaron Rodgers was on MVP form last year. And this is me being a supporter of Aaron Rodgers outside of him doing kabushka for any real remedies of medicine. But it is something still that at the very least, you're banking on that. And if you don't get Aaron Rodgers because you thought you bought the kid, no matter what people says, Robert Saleh and everything, you brought him here to try to get Aaron Rodgers. That's
exactly
what you did.
Exactly, yep.
And if you don't get him and you settle for Derek Carr after he gets his feelings out with Derek, with his brother David about Josh McFarland Daniels and Mark Davis, or Jimmy Garoppolo as your QB, that's not going to end well for Robert Saleh and for Joe Douglas. Despite all the talent that we got on the team and how that's almost ready-made roster, will all go down the drain if that does not happen, if you don't get Aaron Rodgers because you brought in a guy who basically people are trying to say, oh, he made Blake Bortles the season. The guy benefited from Leonard Fournette and that team being so talented. Yep, the next year after, he was 3-8 and got fired by Doug Marrone for how bad he was as a coordinator.
Yep.
Come on, people. Come on, Paper Planes, people. Don't just the man Aaron Rodgers or it's going to be another laughable season.
So, Vince, I know, listen, I know you love your boy Saleh. I know you love your boy Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know, you were all for Hackett, you know, pre-last season.
I was. But Lucas, I didn't have Denver, you know, number one or two or three. I had them, you know, last. But, you know, but what do I know? Keep going.
Last two, okay. So, well, I don't know if you're trying to take a shot at me or something at the end of the day, but no, listen, at the end of the day, Vince, I'm just curious, what do you think about the Jets situation if they do get Aaron Rodgers? Because for me, I think they'll be pretty damn good. Listen, Vince and I'm pretty scared that
they better be.
So, you know, here's my question, right? And Lucas, I was about to talk about you with this before we got on the show. See, for me, I like Joe Douglas. I like what Saul is doing, right? But my question is, I do think they have the cap space to do it, but the question is going to be, I mean, but see, also you got to think about with the New York media, right? And it's, I mean, do you guys feel like is this might be it for Saul next year? I mean, is that why maybe they should go for Rodgers? Because look, let's keep it real. Their defense is good. They got the receivers. People are like, oh, they don't have the receivers. No, they have receiver. Elijah Moore. Put some respect on those names. You know, Moore. They have good tight ends. You know,
Braxton Berrios.
I'm like, see, if I'm Saleh, if I'm the Jets and Joe Douglas and Saleh are on the hot seat, I mean, you got to do it. You have to do it because with Rodgers, I do think they can make the playoffs with that defense and with that receivers. How do you feel, Lucas? Because I feel like with the Hackett move, that was for Rodgers, and you can't blame the Jets. You can't.
Well, listen, I can blame him a little bit because I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to play under the pressure of the New York media and the bright lights.
Right.
You know what? You know
look what he did to Pat McAfee, Lucas. He got on, Robert Grund. You know, Grund was preaching, Lucas, but keep going, you know.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers this, Aaron Rodgers that. Listen, there's one guy who's cut out for the bright lights of New York City. And he has the haircut for it. He has the smile for it, Andrew. Oh. You know who I'm talking about. Oh, I'm talking about Gucci Garopp, okay? Jimmy Garoppolo. That's who I think is going to end up the Jets quarterback next year. And now, listen, I think that's better than Derek Carr. I don't think that's great, okay? Maybe I'm saying this because I'm an AFC East rival, okay? And maybe I'm saying this because I believe it. I guess we'll never know. But at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers with that team would definitely put a little fear in my heart. And then if Aaron Rodgers comes to the Jets, you know Tom Brady's going to be a Dolphin at that point.
Oh! I mean, it might as well happen with that. If that does be the domino effect to lead to a Tom Brady, Stephen Ross, real romance there, if that happens. I mean, if Jimmy Namath, as I would call him, he'll be all over Page Six. No doubt about that.
100%.
If that goes down,
let me
in
ask
that
you
way,
this: if that happens, is the AFC East the best division of football? Who knows?
Uh oh. Uh oh.
Vince, we were already a good division pre-Tua injury.
Vince, you don't want to give that AFC West whole hype of everything that's befuddled the whole that division for the AFC East now. I mean, either if you do that, then clearly we're gonna have two bust up of teams next season if that happens.
Jets and the Bills both going 5-12. Absolutely. I think
the Bills window has closed based on this.
No, look at me. Those Bills fans, those Bills fans, Justin Duffy was talking shit to the Patriots fan. Remember? So go ahead, man.
You can't chat to me, blood. Honestly, I have 7 rings. What do you have? Listen. The only thing the Bills have more than the Patriots is Super Bowl losses, fam. Okay, that's all they got. Okay, actually, we have the same amount, but we're not going to – actually, we have one more, but that's beside the point. Okay. We lost 5. They lost 4 in a row. Okay. They won 0. We won 7. The Jets haven't won since friggin' what?
Joe Namath? Wow. Wait, the Patriots did lose? Did they lose 5 already?
Yes, because we lost the Bears, the Packers, and then the 3.
The Bears, the 80s, yep. They had the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, but that's not the real Patriots. Come on. That was Pete Belichick. We're still playing at – oh God! What was the field's name before it was Gillette Stadium? Oh,
well,
my God.
We had at first it was on our damn. Well, no, we actually it was on our damn campus. Saying damn campus as BU's like, I went to BU. Are they were they on Nicholson Field?
Oh, you were at BU, Andrew?
I was at that damn school.
Okay. I didn't know that. Listen, Boston's collegiate atmosphere is quite the. Quite the interesting smorgasbord of different schools from BC.
Oh, yeah. Let's just say for BU, basically, it was practically almost like P.K. Subban in the NHL.
I could see how that worked out, Listen, at least you weren't at Northeastern, Andrew, okay? How about that? But at the end of the day, listen, they can chat all they want, Vince, but I know as a Patriots fan, I've witnessed more in my short time as a sports fan than any of my other division mates have seen. Now, the only team that can really chat to me is the Jets. And people are going to say, what? The Jets aren't even good. They haven't been good. They're the only team to have knocked us out of the playoffs in the Belichick era.
Bart can't wait.
And that was a damn good football team we had that year. Make no mistake. Last game of the regular season, final score of 45-3 against that same Jets team that came out and beat us in the divisional round. Jets fans, they can say that. Bills fans, you can say nothing. You have one, Jack. Dolphins fans. Don Shula, if you weren't alive when he was playing, when he was coaching, you can't say nothing to me. But no, seriously though, Vince, I am excited for next year in the AFC East. It's going to be a dogfight week in and week out. Obviously, we're just I'm just throwing predictions out here just to get them out there.
And you guys got to remember, they were making fun of the AFC East, but it's going to get better. It's going to get better.
Things have to happen, okay, before we even have any sort of idea about who's going to win the division, what teams are going to be good, what teams are going to be bad. And then to Andrew's point, even after all that stuff happens, we'll still have no idea because the AFC West stunk.
Yeah.
And everybody touted it as the four playoff division. Yeah. Division. So we got a long way to go. But, at the end of the day, I'm really curious to see what the Jets do at quarterback because if they get Rodgers and they get Hackett, that's going to be a good football team because there's no way you can tell me they won't be. Because this year, if they had Jimmy Garoppolo, I think that's a playoff team. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And I'm not even high on Jimmy like that. Like when everybody was saying trade a third round or a second round pick to get Jimmy back for Mac Jones, I was like, that's a terrible idea. Okay, so I'm not even
yes,
a fan
it
of,
was.
I'm not even a fan of him.
No, look, you told Patriots fan, we're going 7-10. You're honest though, right?
Listen. At the end of the day, Jimmy was not going to do anything for us that Mac Jones couldn't.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Or at least that Mac Jones could not grow into. But even Andrew, I know you don't like Jimmy. I know, and listen, I'm really out on Derek Carr. I just think I don't like to call in guys' mental toughness a lot of the time when it comes to talking about sports.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not Derek, because I know Derek Carr's been through a lot in his NFL career. So I understand that. I don't want to be too harsh on the guy. But at the end of the day, he lacks some intangibles I think I want my quarterback to have
Real quick. What do you guys feel about Lamar Jackson? Do you think he's going to stay? Or by the way, how they're handling it? They're like, well, let Lamar pick the OC. Does that mean he's staying? Or could he still be possible? Can he still trade it?
Oh. I think Lamar's going to sign the bag because I think he loves the city and the city loves him so much.
Yeah,
I think it has nothing to do with the football team.
Okay.
I do think giving him some control is going to help sway him.
Right.
But I think that Lamar – understands what he means to that city, and I think he's going to stay. Big trust.
Yeah, for me, well, first, even before Lamar, as Lucas was saying, I don't mind, Jimmy and Garoppolo. I think he's actually a quality person in the locker room. Right. That everyone seems to love him, and he's handled the situation this season so well on both accounts. Like, literally. Like, bench for Trey Lance, and then after getting his job back from Trey Lance getting hurt and then him unfortunately getting injured, has really got it Brock Purdy that way. And Derek Carr, you know, quality guy in those factors. But as you said, Lucas, I mean, the guy, no matter how really real and just really just crappy Mark Davis treated him and then had the influence with Josh McFarland McDaniels to make the decision to get Jared Stidham his job.
And then what he's been through, Andrew.
Away from the team. Like, he literally couldn't stomach the fact that he lost his whole job. Yes, it was crappy, and they should have never had Rich Bisacci out the door last year, but they but it wasn't a good sign at all. And I just feel like, you know, both of them, whether Garoppolo or Carr on the team, if it was Jets, it's just not any level of guarantee for Robert Saleh in a season where they really need to make playoffs, or it's going to be, unfortunately, for them. And I like Robert Saleh, you know, as a role, you know, on that. But, you know, with Lamar, I still feel it's a situation where no matter the good the PR that John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta had in the press conference and wanting Lamar back and saying Lamar is our quarterback and everything, I still feel the real battle's him and Steve Bisciotti over this contract. I just feel that it's still going to be this way where you will have some team maybe think about it in terms of giving him like a whole back. Now, honestly, I still don't see any team right now, any owner, giving him a fully guaranteed like they gave Deshaun Watson, and how that's going to be a real sticking point on the whole thing. But, you know, his time in Baltimore, man, and how that's going to be, it's still really, to me, 50-50 at the moment. And I still just don't think that press conference the other day is going to really still be a factor in regards to how he's feeling at the moment, which is still like really halfway on the out.
Yeah. I think getting rid of Greg Roman, you know, that's a big step.
Right.
Okay. At the end of the day, but I think it's still 50-50. And as far as the Jets point, Andrew.
Yeah.
100% agree. Okay. Jimmy does not guarantee you anything in a season where you need it to be guaranteed. So yep. I 100% understand that level of skepticism. And I can understand why you just want Aaron Rodgers over Jimmy, because, you know, he's better. Like, yeah, that's, I think it's that simple. But, yeah, you know, Lamar's whole situation is very interesting. I hope he stays in Baltimore, because God forbid he's on the Jets. I would hate seeing that team twice a year.
Oh, that would be a wonderful thing.
And also, shout out to our boy Wayne. He's a Raven fan, too, but I don't want our boy Wayne to be – yeah.
Exactly. So, no, he stays there. You get him a play. You get him another playmaker. Say they go get D-Hop. Okay. Ooh. And then they make some plays. Okay. They get a little more weapons on offense for Lamar. J.K. Dobbins is fully healthy. You know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Backup quarterback under the bus. Dobbins will be healthy next year. And, you know, I think that team could make a little bit of noise in the AFC North. And the thing is, Andrew, as far as why he won't get the AFC
healthy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you have to say that because they haven't been healthy the last, like, 2 or 3 years at all. But as far as that guaranteed money, I think Lamar's going to have to realize that the rest of the NFL is not as stupid as the fucking Browns. Just because the Browns guaranteed he shall not be named, even though I already said his name on this podcast, okay?
I mean, remember, Luke, you said on the podcast, on the 65 Media Football Show, you said the Browns are going to Brown. They're going to be fourth. Look at that.
The Browns are going to Brown. At the end of the day, you can't have a guy who hasn't played football in 18 months guarantee him all the money in the world so he has nothing to play for besides honor when he obviously isn't a man of honor. I think I can confidently say that, okay?
Right.
Given the information about him. It was never going to work out. I don't think teams are going to throw that 230 guaranteed million unless it's Pat Mahomes, basically, or Joe Burrow, obviously. I think Josh Allen probably gets a lot of that money, too.
Herbert? What about Herbert?
I don't think you can give him 5 years, 230 guaranteed.
Okay, yeah.
Not right now. I think he might get it, but at the end of the day, I don't think guaranteeing that amount of money is smart to any quarterback. But I would say it makes more sense for a younger guy like Herbert or Burrow, right?
Yeah,
but these guys on there hitting their second contracts, it just makes no sense.
It's something that you haven't seen any level of a team win the title, you know, with that, and this is why it's going to be interesting with this game on Sunday with the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
How? Because you already have people saying, you know, Burrow's not going to take the quote unquote Brady team friendly deal. If, you know, when it comes towards this honestly, just as much as we say how important it is for the Chiefs not to have the Burrowhead label on them and not be foreold by the Bengals, this could be necessarily the Bengals' best chance, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you're getting up to the point where if you get Burrow the contract, you won't be able to keep both Higgins and Chase, and that'd be bye-bye T. Higgins. You'll keep Chase. But, and other factors.
I'll almost guarantee you right now that T. Higgins up. You can almost guarantee because you got to pay. Like you said, mm-hmm. Chase is a $30 million, $25 million player. And Joe Burrow's getting that huge deal, and it's just as impossible. And like you said, Andrew, no team has really won with that max contract model to their QB. And that's why, you know, you got to be prepared to take advantage of these years while your QB's on a rookie deal, which is why, to tie it back into my Patriots, hiring Patricia and Judge is the worst decision Bill Belichick probably ever made because it just cost him a year. And in a year where everything went wrong that could have, we were half a well, if we had done things rightly, who knows what the possibility was. But at the end of the day, I think that's a very interesting discussion to see. You know, maybe we can revisit this after the Bengals-Chiefs game if the Bengals end up, you know, faltering and letting the Chiefs get in. We'll maybe have a chance to see our first $50 million Super Bowl winner. But we're just going to have to wait and see. Vince, good luck to you, brother, this weekend, okay? I'm rooting for the Niners. I pick your Niners. Vince, you're not slick, though. You pick the Eagles just so it's a win-win for you. So if your team loses, you can be right. And if you you're wrong, look at him. I know, Vince.
Well, guess what? I would have choose my Niners on your show. I would talk to I'll tell the people right now. I will. I gotta have my confidence, but I gotta keep it real on my content. But on your show, I'll be different. But it's all good though. But no,
at the end of the day, let me.
I win anyway.
Who do you think is gonna win? Do you in your heart at the when the clock is?
If I had to bet my money, somebody said Vince Size. If you had to bet your money. I'm betting Philadelphia. I have to.
Oh, wow. That's fair.
That's real.
Andrew, and how about you?
Because I want to see, and they're doing stats. Listen, I like Purdy. Purdy doing well for us. But stop it, guy. Purdy is not better than Jalen Hurts. Let's stop that right now. Please,
Vince, with the chrome to your dome, you're taking the Eagles. Andrew, with the chrome to your dome, do you think your quarterback is going to be Derek Carr? Jimmy Garoppolo or Aaron Rodgers.
That at the end of the day,
that's a little less fair for
my dome.
I was gonna say that's a little less fair for you. That's a harder question, but okay.
It makes the drama even more hilarious. I have to say, for it's gonna be 2 years in a row that Nathaniel can't hack it. He's not gonna be able to bring his buddy Aaron Rodgers. I don't think it's gonna happen. I think it will be Derek Carr. I think it's gonna be Derek Carr, man.
Andrew, he's going to be next to Adam Schein? Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Adam Schein, if that happens, this man will be moving right next door to Derek Carr here if this man moves here to New York.
And listen, I got to put a question to myself with the chrome to my dome. Who will win the AFC East next year? Boom, New England Patriots. It's as easy as that for me. Vince, anything else you got there? We can touch on maybe the free agents? Or I think we should
free agents, real quick for you guys.
Hold on. What about that other championship game this Sunday?
Oh, yeah, come on. Lucas, Bengals, Chiefs. Well,
I don't give a shit. Oh, but no, I'm kidding. I got the Bengals.
Lucas sounded like a disgruntled Bills fan right there with how they feel about this game.
Yeah, I got the Bengals. I got the Bengals all day.
Yeah.
Well, I got Bengals I chose, beginning of the playoffs. So, Bengals and me.
Yeah, I got Bengals over Chiefs.
Bengals, Eagles, Super Bowl.
Joe Burrow is Mahomes' daddy. How about that?
Oh, my goodness, Burrowhead. Look at you. Look at you, Vince.
Now, listen, my original pick at the beginning of the playoffs was Bengals-Eagles.
Yeah.
So I feel like I should go with the Eagles, but
– Oh, remember,
my heart is telling me Niners.
No, look, remember, people call you crazy for Bengals over, you know, the Bills because people are like, oh, Bengals – have your own line. Go ahead, Lucas.
Listen, people have called me crazy for saying the Bengals were going to win the friggin' division. Okay, ooh. I don't forget. I have a good memory.
They're forcing it like that. Like the Bengals were like you said. Like the Raiders are going to win the division. Like, come on.
I know a couple people will pick the Raiders to win the division. Mm-hmm. All right, it's a conversation for another day. But no, listen, the Bengals, a lot of people like to act, Andrew and Vince, like it was some sort of Disney fairy tale run. Exactly. When if you were watching that football down the stretch, not just in the playoffs, mind you, down the stretch of last year's regular season, I remember the Bengals just being an absolute unit, absolute powerhouse on the offensive side of the ball. And then that game against Tennessee, their defense really, really got going.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense is better than it was last year. And I'm sorry, that was the reason why I picked the Bengals at the beginning, is that the Bengals, to me, were the most complete team by far in the AFC. Okay, and I think the Eagles can compete with that in the NFC, but at the end of the day.
So wait a minute, Lucas, you picked the Eagles for the playoffs, but now you're picking the Niners now?
No,
now
that's what I said. It's kind of,
Lucas.
Yeah, it's kind of nasty, but listen, at the end of the day, I believe what I believe, and I think the Niners are going to get the job done.
Mm.
And then, unfortunately, it's going to be a Broncos versus Carolina Panthers sort of situation. Not so bad, but I don't think it's going to be a close Super Bowl between the Bengals and the Niners. I hate to say it to you, Vince.
Yeah.
You're going to be a sad – in my prediction, you're going to be a sad man. But, listen, at the end of the day –
It's all good, though. We beat the Bengals last year in the regular season, but keep going. It's all good.
What was the key word, though? Regular season. That's the key phrase.
Yeah.
But, no, at the end of the day, right. All jokes aside, Bengals were the most complete team in the AFC to me. Yep. Okay, I think people acted like the Bills were like some juggernaut all season.
Right.
When, I mean, you watched them play and they squeaked out a win against the Lions, who were a decent team. They squeaked a win out against the Patriots. They should have blown us the hell out.
Yeah.
And they needed a couple, you know, God-tier throws from Josh Allen to really push that out of reach. You know, not bad flaws. We've seen it. Josh Allen didn't have a good game. Bengals had the best defense left in the AFC. That's my thing. Andy D'Antoni is going to get lit up, honestly, on the one side of the ball, and that's just what it is for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main concern still is, even though, yes, Chiefs pass rush has been better this year with Kolaris and Dunlap added with Clark and with Chris Jones and Nandi, but it is still that cornerback situation for them. Yep. It is a roast fest against a quality passing offense, and the Bengals have just roasted them the past three times, and I just feel that is going to be the case unless by foreseeing foregone or major development that you have Burrow have a moment of choking. And one thing that Joe Burrow has not done since 2019 has done any sort of suffocating for the moment. In fact, he suffocated you on the defensive side. So that is the thing. Lou Amarillo showing how ridiculously dumb the NFL is. The guy still doesn't have a head coaching interview with how he's arguably been, and in my mind, the best defensive coordinator from a scheme perspective past two seasons. Sorry, C. Spagnuolo. You are going to try to do your crazy blitzing, and that's not going to work against Joe Burrow in this instance. I just think it's going to be 4-0 Bengals, and Burrowhead is going to be set all over the place.
No, Burrow's too good, man. Can't just blitz him and expect him to crap his pants. I mean, he's just too good. He's got two elite receivers. He's got a really good running back. And honestly, that's a great shout to the defensive coordinator, because that guy, he's getting absolutely no love the entire
None.
Season. And
it's
that defensive
bonkers.
Unit has been terrific, honestly.
And neither has Eric Bieniemy, but, you know, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here's the thing. This is going to be a joke, but I have a question for you guys. Okay.
Go ahead.
Is Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard the greatest white defensive end duo of all
time? Oh, my goodness.
You know what's crazy about that? You almost would think that is the case with them in terms of how dominant they are, and Trey and Sam Hubbard going literally 99 yards up the field in the most hilarious role reversal that you would ever see. But then you are reminded, Sir Lucas Gaynor, that the Pittsburgh Steelers had a certain combination of incredible vanilla pass rushers that really knocked the SHIT out of people. And that is, of course, the two Jacks of the Steelers,
curtain.
Jack Lambert and Jack Ham, sir.
I forgot the steel curtain, Andrew. God damn it.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Those two will always reign supreme for the vanilla bashers of all time.
And that's why I'm glad Andrew's here, because nobody else would have ever given us that cold, hard fact that they are going to be the best, and they will always be the best. Okay. It's just what it is. I tried to shout out Hubbard and Hendrickson. They're number two, maybe, but they definitely won't be number one. But I'm expecting a big game from them against the Chiefs, man. You know, Mahomes is hobbled. The guy's tough son of a bitch, man. He's tough, man. People don't give him credit.
Yeah.
They call him soft. They call him, like, you know, weak or whatever, or, you know, but that's – I think he deserves a lot more credit than that. But
he wins with a high-sprint ankle. That's pretty damn impressive in my opinion, bro.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, Vince, who you got in this game, Vince?
I got Bengals too. I think I'm not gonna lie, bro. I think your theory is gonna happen. It's gonna be Eagles Bengals. I'm being dead ass serious.
clean sweeping the Chiefs all the way over what we're doing here.
No, we'll quick,
this makes feel, this makes scares me a little bit, man.
Now, we'll get old takes exposed here.
Question for you guys. How do you guys feel? Do you, with the Tony Pollard injury, do you think his free, is that going to affect his free agency, in your opinion? Go ahead, Lucas. You go first.
Of course. It is. He's probably going to have to sign one-year deal now, I think.
It's something where he's gonna, you know, have the recovery from it, but it's still, you know, broken, you know,
yep.
you know, injury, and that's the unfortunate thing about it. And I think at the very least, because of it, you know, he's going to get probably a sweet 1-year deal from the Cowboys with that, but that's as best as, you know, I think he could get, you know, for it. And that may even lead to Zeke Elliott being back. And that was supposed to not happen. And Pollard was going to get the money. But now Zeke Elliott may come back for a favorable deal on that. So,
said he was going to take a pay cut. No, he said he was going to. So.
Yep.
As he should be.
But I respect that from Zeke. You know, a lot of players wouldn't come forward and say that. But, you know, self-awareness is key. And at the end of the day, you know, you should take a pay cut. But the running back market this year, if you're in the market for a running back, it's pretty good at the top there. You got a good 10 guys I think would be good additions to roster, some obviously better than others. Yep. You know, David Montgomery, Saquon. But Saquon's going to be a giant. Josh Jacobs, I'm really interested.
If he wants to stay with Josh McFrog. We'll find out.
Vince, I'll bet $100 right now he's not a Raider. Well, they turned down his fifth-year option. No, unless they offer him more money than anybody else, I can't see him staying. Alexander Mattison, a sneaky name. The guy is not really in the spotlight because he's been Dalvin Cook's backup. Really solid player. My boy Devin Singletary, that's another solid player. I hope lets him walk so I can actually root for him, you know, for real now.
And Rashad Penny, as you mentioned the day.
Yes, sir. That is a good one. You got a lot of names on there. Vince would mention to me Miles Gaskin. I don't really know if you should prioritize Miles Gaskin at the end of the day. Vince, I'll tell you right now, if I was the Niners, I would rather have Boston Scott than –
Really?
100%.
I got a question for you. Is he better than Mitchell?
No, probably not.
Okay.
Honestly, I haven't seen – Mitchell hasn't shown me too much, though, since the injury.
That's the thing about me, right? See, Mitchell, I like Mitchell, but he gets hurt. So that's the thing with me with him. So
honestly, the team that really should be interested in Boston Scott for a discount is the New York Giants because they'll be sick of him running a touchdown on him.
New England because you know his name Boston. It's a
good thing the Patriots play in Foxborough. We don't have to worry about that. But what I will say now before we really close the show,
yes.
You close your show, I should say. For a second, I thought we were doing our show. I got thrown off a little bit, but
it's okay.
Do we think about the Eagles here? The Eagles' two running backs, not named Kenneth Gainwell, are free agents this year. Is Bijan Robinson going to be in a Philadelphia Eagles jersey next year? They have the pick to play with in the first round. That's kind of a luxury bonus as such a good team. Do they trade down, gather some more picks, and take Bijan Robinson?
That's a good question. I would trade down and get more picks, but Bijan's worth it. I feel like that team is a rotation running back kind of team. That's me. Lucas, I told my dad about it. I'm like, would you be interested in Bijan? He's like, hell yeah, I would. But at the end of the day, Lucas, what did we say before we talked on the phone? The Eagles got to get younger on defense, right? So, yeah, I mean, 100%. Listen, Bijan's worth it, but I don't know. What would you do, Andrew?
Bijan Robinson and Jalen Hurts on an option. You also having a passing route to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. I mean, and I've always been a fan of Miles since him being Saquon Barkley's understudy and glad that he's had a great season. But this man, Bijan Robinson, is something else. And in that backfield, the Gainwell's a decent backup or, you know, could be starting the season off the starter and then work him in and out. And that is something very enticing for you to say, Miles, Boston, we love you guys, but if we win the championship, you've been a great service to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead and get your money somewhere else.
Show me my money. How about that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting to see in this era of, you know, not paying running backs. You know, I'll tell you right now, I think Damian Harris won't be a New England Patriot next year, unfortunately. Just is what it is. But
where do you think where D-Hop is going to go, though? That's the question. Because every executive –
I'm saying Ravens. I'm saying Ravens.
GM, came from New England. But keep going. It's okay.
I'm saying Ravens.
Mm.
Kind of
yeah, I mean, it's still a situation I still got to think of like a little more, because all I know is that I know Kyle Murray is recovering from his ACL and everything, right, but right. Him on the contract and him then seeing the guy that they bought and got from the Texans, and then for him to go, no matter any sideline yelling they may do occasionally here and there, I don't think it's going to be the necessarily best look that him and the new GM may have with that. So I still got to think about how that one's going to go down. But, I mean, there's something still there that needs to be repaired if he stays in Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. And real quick, Lucas, you want to talk about the head coaching stuff real quick, about Frank Reich going to the Panthers real quick?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, for me, I love Frank Reich. Yeah. I think Frank Reich deserves a head coaching spot in the NFL, but I think Steve Wilks earned that job.
Should have been. I would have done Steve Wilks as a head coach, office coordinator Frank Reich. That's what I would have done. But Andrew Lucan, we know these white owners, so you know. But that's
listen. At the end of the day,
Vince, keep it around.
Yes, sir. Vince, keep it in the stack. I also don't know if Frank Reich's taking an OC job at the end of the day with all these vacancies. Yeah, that's the thing. So at the end of the day, I love your idea, Vince, but I just couldn't see it happening.
Yeah.
I think as the first Panthers quarterback to ever throw a touchdown, I think it's a cool connection to the franchise, but. It's just once again the case of, unfortunately, you know, a head coach who stepped in a tough situation to replace a fire coach. You know, this happens to be a black coach, gets basically, I'm not going to say he gets demoted, but he gets punished for doing a good job, basically.
That's fucked up,
too. He did everything he could do at the end of the day, and they still replaced him, okay? I think he had that team playing good football. They had an identity at the end of the year. Which is something they did not have for the first 12
years. I mean, shit, they beat the Lions, so hey, look at that. I mean,
well, no, their identity was we're going to smack you in the goddamn mouth running the football, and we're gonna play very physical on defense. And it was actually pretty fun to watch. Yep. You know, the trio of running backs, Blackshear, Tuba Hubbard, and Dante Foreman, you know, and Sam Darnold kind of actually played decently. It was, like,
it
pretty
was more
fun to
enjoyable
watch.
Than Matt Rule and Ben.
100%. I just feel bad for Steve Wilks. At the end of the day, but I think he definitely has a future in coaching and head coaching specifically one day. So I'm sure he'll get a job. I don't know. They didn't, like, retain him, did they?
Huh?
Did the Panthers, like, retain Steve Wilks? No, right?
No, yeah, I mean, they just he said he decided he wanted to just go elsewhere and be searched on. So,
yeah. Absolutely. How you feel about this hire, Andrew? Were you not surprised or just, you know?
I mean, well, Frank Reich, the minute he was getting interviewed by the Panthers, I thought that he was going to be the favorite to get that job, because David Tepper, after the idiocy of giving Matt Rule a 7-year deal, knew at the very least that whoever was his next head coach, and to me it still should have been, you know, Steve Wilsu, he knew that he needed an NFL coach that was stable and that he didn't want to be joked and clowned on, because David Tepper is a very prideful man. You wouldn't be very prideful if you spend your whole life as a hedge fund guy here in New York on terrible Wall Street people and being able to get money like that. So that was something where he just saw Frank Reich. And Frank Reich, look, when he was with the Colts, especially at the beginning with Andrew Luck, it started off well. You know, I think they were impatient with Jacoby Brissett, but when they got Phil Rivers, 89-year-old behind, they made the playoffs. But the last two seasons, to have Carson Wentz, and that did not go well at all, and then Matt Ryan and all this, Panthers fans can't necessarily assume and say that Frank Reich is this clear quarterback developer. He is a good head coach with that, but it is something where they can't book it on that, and they have to see, because now they're picking ninth, so they're not, unless they trade up, and they are already having to jockey a little bit of the assets with that, at least from, you know, McCaffrey trade and everything, but that is something where they still would have to give something if they want to get Stroud and Young, and bless them if then they think about deciding on Levis. So I will say Matt Corral is still there, could have a chance there next year if he's able to do his thing. So, we still should have got the job, and it's still, you know, clearly a lack of owner's understanding that is pretty embarrassing to have basically a decimal percentage of black coaches on the sideline. But it is something where you can at least understand that compared to if they had hired Kellen Moore. If they hired Kellen Moore, especially after that last play, you're going to deserve a lot of questions and a lot of laugh and ridicule, and I mean, also being called racist, honestly.
No, I mean, hey, this should have been Should have been fired. But guess what? Dan Quinn is going to stay as DC. Which, by the way, he's going to save Mike McCarthy's ass again. How about go ahead, Luke? I'm sorry about that. Oh, sorry about that, Cowboy fan.
I agree. I do believe that Steve Wilkes got the job, but you got some stability. You got a guy who, like you said, you know, was decent. And Andrew, as far as Matt Corral, I agree. He has a great chance to be a backup next year. 100%, man. Yeah, I don't think Matt Corral's the answer. I don't know, Andrew. They're in a tough spot. You just keep to build on the defense. You roll Sam Darnold out, and you just, you know, keep rolling with the punches. Because say if they took Levis or they traded up for Stroud, because I don't think they'll be able to get Bryce Young. And just God forbid it didn't work out. That just how many more quarterbacks can that franchise take? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Not that I think CJ would fail. I'm just saying,
right?
You know, it's no guarantee that anybody works out.
Yeah. I mean, hello, Jake DeLome, you there? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's funny that you mentioned Sir DeLome with that. I mean, and this is why, to me, it would be wise, whether it's Darnold, PJ Walker, Corral, who knows, that they at least understand that you gave Matt Rhule a 4-year contract, and you know that at the very least the 2024 draft class is going to have quarterbacks galore that are worthy to get throughout that first round. It'll be shocking if it's not at least 5 guys that are, to me, legit, like really deserving 2024 first round quarterbacks. So, I mean, you just have to just say to yourself that you need to just have that clear plan. And Frank Wright, even though he certainly believes he wants to get off the ground running, he wants to prove Jim Irsay wrong for firing, because he should have never gotten fired from the Colts job. But it is something where both Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan failed him. You just got to understand that this next season, you won't, despite a good defense, solid defense, and a decent offensive line, that is a big axe with the current quarterbacks on that staff, or having a rookie, whether Stroud or Levis, with that you're going to then be a playoff team. Then again, that division is terrible, and that division really is a mess. So you could maybe finagle something out of that, especially how the division was this year, and if Brady doesn't come back for the Bucs. But it's going to be a process, though, for him, no matter what it is with the quarterback situation there.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, I think we're pretty much ready to wrap it up.
Yep.
Yep.
It's been a pleasure, Andrew. You know, it's always good podcasting with you on Vince's show or having you on our show, because you're so gracious to host us every day. Me and Vince go back and forth. You know, me and my boy Josh like to argue. Josh, who I will say right now, I'm shouting him out, he's right down the street from me at TD Garden. He met Cedric Maxwell, and he met Al Horford tonight. So shout out to
Josh. What a cheesy picture, eh?
Oh, that picture had me friggin' – I'm happy for that guy. Hilarious stuff. Okay, but Andrew, you know, we appreciate it as always.
Yes.
You know, you having us on the show. And we're going to have you on the 265 Media Show soon. But, you know, it's always good.
Definitely.
Yes, yes.
Always good, sir. This is so therapeutic to have you guys here, considering that we literally had a guy as our offensive coordinator who needed a clock analysis manager on the sideline.
Oh, that is tough, honestly. Wow, listen, well, Matt Patricia pretty much needs a life coach at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, you know, things could always be worse. But Vince, I think that's it for me. Vince, Eddie, what are your final thoughts, Mike?
Well, quick, first of all, before I go, Luke, do you have any advice for Arsenal fans tomorrow?
Get your tissues out, bud, because you're losing.
Uh-oh.
No, listen, we're going to pack them up tomorrow, and the doubt is going to start creeping into Bukayo Saka, Martin Odegaard, Emile Smith-Rowe, Alexander Zinchenko. The doubt is going to start – well, actually, it's not going to sneak in Zinchenko's mind, because he is a citizen at heart, and he knows what it takes to win titles, okay? But it's going to start creeping in their mind. And they're going to falter. We're going to win the 2 league games. We're going to win the Premier League again. And we're going to win our first European Cup ever. Let's go.
Get the Barkley guarantee to close it out for him, especially for tomorrow overall with that one.
Yeah, so Andrew, real quick, before I go, you can tell everybody your social media. Everybody can follow you, and then I'll go next. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, sir. I mean, they definitely probably wouldn't know with that, but just in case they don't, it's SluggaGels on Twitter, SluggaGells on Twitter, as well as also the TV1 account, both of those on Twitter and on Instagram, CWDBK3. So you can follow me on there. You may want to play it back just in case, because repeating it twice, you may get lost in the sauce with it. So that's the whole social media for me right there.
Yes, yes. Everybody can follow me at Respectable Vink and also at VinSize824. By the way, RIP Kobe, by the way. Shout out to the Black Mama. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Also, can't wait for the overall sports show, by the way, tomorrow. Pay attention to that. This podcast.
Yes, sir.
This coast will be podcasted, posted by in about 10 minutes, by the way. So, Andrew, thank you. And Lucas Gaynor, thank you. Which, by the way, next week, watch out for the 265 Media football show. We're going to have our guy Nathan, by the way. He does the mistakes and all the DMV. So God bless the Commanders' hearts, by the way. Commander fans' heart, by the way. and also, Wilson will have Mr. Wayne Cole on the 265 Media Football Show podcast pretty soon. Shout out to our man, Wayne Cole. Anyways, fellas, have a great night. Andrew, see you tomorrow.
You too, sir.
See you tomorrow as well. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.